Okay, very exciting to start a new year, a new limud. The limud of mezuzah has a special place in my heart personally. The opening siman tells us about the unique chashivas of the mitzvah of mezuzah. And we had a chance to talk about it a little bit earlier this week when we got together on Tuesday. We got together on Tuesday as we opened this month. That's not so common that an area of halacha should open a shulchan and turn shulchan aruch with a siman that's really focused on the chashivas of the mitzvah. That itself speaks the uniqueness of the mitzvah. And as we're going to see as the limud unfolds, mezuzah is very exceptionally important, exceptionally easy in terms of being kind of the mitzvah, and the limud itself is very, very sweet. It is exceptionally important, shulchan aruch tells us. That it applies to everyone. It's a very special schar. It's easy in the sense that most of the dinim, as we'll see as things unfold, most of the dinim you can set it and it runs on its own. I wouldn't say set it and forget it. I talk about the machshava of the mitzvah, but certainly once you set it up right, most of the dinim apply to how you set it up, and once you're kovei the mezuzahs properly, the kind of the dinim. Year, month after month, year after year, with no additional effort. So it's valuable and really important to get it right. And the limud is very, very sweet. We're going to see that for those who were with us last year for Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Mezuzah is much more self-contained. Within several amudim in Menachos, several amudim in Yuma is the vast majority of the dinim, and certainly pretty self-contained within these seven simanim in Shulchan Aruch. And as I mentioned last week when we were getting things started, we're going to see it in coming weeks, the dinim are also within the world of mezuzah, the dinim are very intertwined. Within the world of mezuzah, you know, any given case, we're going to start talking about hayapub mezuzah and location and which makomos are chayiv. Any given scenario typically involves 3 or 5 or 10 different seifim intersecting. And that's why it's so important to carve out the time to learn this sugya as well, because it's very hard to look up a shayla if you're not already grounded in the sugyas. Many years of halacha, a particular scenario is once you got to find the right sifim shulchan aruch, that's it. As we'll see as the Hilchos Mezuzah unfolds, any given scenario, any given door, any given room often involves multiple seifim intertwining. So as the limud is going to be very rich and it's going to build on itself. I'm just looking ahead to the Shulchan Aruch, and just to sketch a table of contents for the Torah and Shulchan Aruch, so we'll figure out where we are, where we're going. The opening siman, which we'll come to in a moment, siman Reish Behei, lays the groundwork and speaks about chashivas of the mitzvah, and then the remaining six. Simanim, the Rambam has his own organization for Hilchos Mezuzah. In the Turan Shulchan Aruch, the remaining six Simanim are two Simanim dedicated to Am I Chayiv? Then the next two Simanim dedicated to Given that I am Chayiv, how do I do the mitzvah? And the last two Simanim dedicated to what are the other dinim that apply afterwards, after Rei B'Makai in the mitzvah. So Reish Pei Vav, Reish Pei Zayin deal with which types of rooms and which types of doorways are chayiv and are not chayiv. And then assuming that I figured out that this is a place of chayiv and mezuzah, so then Reish Peches, Reish Peches talk about the procedure. How would I go about being mekayim and mezuzah? Reish Peches is about preparing the cloth, that's the softest part. The Reish Peches, that we'll be turning our attention to very soon, is about the part that's relevant to all of us, how one is koveya the mezuzah. Then Reish Sadi Aleph gives some after dinim. Reish Sadi is additional sofer's dinim, and Reish Sadi Aleph are the other dinim for a balabayas of maintenance. Bedikas ha-mezuzah and moving out. Afterwards, all the after kviyas ha-mezuzah. We are, as I mentioned last week, we're not going to be focused on the sofer's parts. Maybe we'll have a chance to hear from a sofer. But for that reason, really, we're going to be focused on 5 out of the 7 simanim. We're not going to be focused much on the two Safra Simanim, Reish Peches and Reish Tzadi. And moreover, we're taking the step of going from Reish Pehe straight to Reish Pehe Tes, which is we're beginning to see how one puts up mezuzah. Then afterwards, we'll go back to Resh Pei Vav and Resh Pei Zay in terms of which rooms are chayv, which rooms are not. I think the limud will unfold more smoothly in that way. It happens also to be more or less the seder of the Rambam. Rambam has two prakim of Hilchos Mezuzah, as you saw. He has 10 prakim altogether for tefillin, mezuzah, and sefer Torah. That's because Rambam generally won't have a section less than 3 prakim. Whenever there's a topic that's only 1 or 2 prakim, he'll attach it to something else. Megillah and Chanukah he puts together because each one is only 2 prakim. Tefillin and sefer Torah, each 4 prakim, mezuzah only 2, Rambam chose to put them all together. So prakim hay and vav are the 2 prakim Hilchos Mezuzah. Parakeh takes you through the order of the procedure, how you write a mezuzah, how you roll up the mezuzah, then how you attach the mezuzah with a bracha and so forth. That's what he deals with first. That's sort of the order that we're going in. Put Resh Pei Ches, Resh Pei Ches first. Then Perek Vav, the Rambam moves back to what the Shulchan Aruch dealt with first, which is, well, where am I chayiv and where am I not chayiv? So we're going to be taking more or less the order of the Rambam to deal. We'll open with Resh Pei Hei, the chashivas of the mitzvah. And then I'll say to our Rambam, we'll talk about how Resh Pei Ches before we talk about whether or not I'm chayiv, Resh Pei Vav and Resh Pei Zayin. Everything will fall into place. The Shulchan Aruch opens, now we turn our attention to Resh Pei Hei. Hopefully we have some time today to look at the beginning of Resh Pei Ches, the dinim of the bracha. But the Shachar, the Shulchan Aruch opens with the mitzvah very clearly. A mitzvah saseh lichtov shema v'hayim shema l'kaval amazuzos ha-pesach. Interesting, as an aside, the Rambam usually opens Erez Halacha that way. We've seen Rambam in different parts of Mishnah Torah. Usually open. There is a mitzvah to X, Y, Z. Mitzvah say to do this, mitzvah say to do that. Ironically, the Rambam does not open Hilchos Mezuzah that way. But the Shulchan Aruch does. It opens by saying very clearly, this is a mitzvah daraisa. A mitzvah daraisa to write these parashios and put them al mezuzah ha-pesach. To us, it seems self-evident. Of course, that's what a mezuzah is. But it's not quite as self-evident as it seems. The Shach points out, well, how do we know that it's these two parashios? But he says, Shach and Sivkat and Aleph. After all, these are the two paragraphs where the Torah has that phrase. As we know from saying Kriya Shema every day, the end of Shema, Vahafta, and the end of Hayim Shema, the two paragraphs, we have the reference to Chsavta Mamazuz Beisecha Uvisharecha. Now, so, but what does that mean? Chsavta to what? Write them, right? Which? Which words am I supposed to write? Which words am I supposed to say in Kriyat Shema B'Shach Bukumecha? Which words am I supposed to write in the Tefillin? Which words am I supposed to write in the Mezuzah? So the Tanam already clear that these psukim are self-referential. That when it says, for instance, here in the world of Mezuzah, that means write the parsha. The parsha, the paragraph from the Chumash, which contains this pasuk, is what you're supposed to write. How do we know the Tanam say that? Because that's the Mishnah Daf Chav Ches in Menachos. The Mishnah says that the Shtei Parshas of Mezuzah and the 4 Parshas of Tefillin, Ma'akvin Zuzu, so that tells me that I'm supposed to write the whole parshas. So that's the Mishnah. It should be noted, just to appreciate that Mishnah a little bit, because in terms of, in the Torah Sheva'al Peh, Mezuzah begins really with that Mishnah. The Sugyos, we mentioned already, we're going to see going forward, the main addresses of Mezuzah and the Bavli are a blot and a half in the 3rd parak of Menachos and a blot and a half in the 1st parak of Yuma. The reason why, we'll get to Yuma, but the reason why it's in Menachos is because of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah, as you saw in Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, mentions this one din. One din of Mezuzah appears here, that the 2 parshas are Ma'akvos Zuzu. As a footnote, that's why Mezuzah is here to begin with. Menachos is about Karban Mincha, officially, but the Mishnayos get into a series of different topics that all share one format. You may have seen that in the past in the Ein Beins, and it appears in several places in Shas, where the Mishnah has one format, one logical structure, then proceeds to take a tour of Shas, looking for that logical structure. So here's one example. You have a list, the Mishnah is the end of the 3rd paragraph of Menachos. Where do you have, it starts with an example in Karban Mincha, but then it goes all over Shas. where do you have a situation where you have different elements of a mitzvah, but they're all ma'akv and zuzu. You can't have one without the other. They're all critical. So in that list, you come across here, the four parshas of tefillin, the four tzitzis on the four different corners of the garment, and the two parshas of the mezuzah. So that one din appears here in Chav Ches Amud Aleph, and that gave the Amoraim of the Bavli an in, a location. Okay, here's a place where we can be koveh the sugyas of tefillin and mezuzah and so on and so forth. That one din that appears in the Mishnah, interesting, why is that the one din? It happens to be very fundamental. The fact that the Beis Parashah Shev Mezuzah Ma'akim Zuzu, number one, as he said, the Tanaim are telling me that the mitzvah is to write the two parshas down. That's the content of the mitzvah, the two entire parshas. Number two, the Rambam tells us, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs more than once, that the significance of Ma'akv and Zu'azu is usually, perhaps with exceptions, but usually the following. Ma'akv and Zu'azu is typically an indicator that it's all, in counting the Tarag mitzvahs, you have different elements, ma'akv and zu'azu, that usually means that it's all one mitzvah. If there ain't ma'akv and zu'azu, as the Mishnah is listed in the fourth parak of Menachos, then that's usually an indication that they are separate mitzvahs. So for instance, shal yad shal rosh, the Rambam counts as the two separate mitzvahs, one mitzvah pilon shal yad, one mitzvah pilon shal rosh, and indeed, they're not ma'akv and zu'azu, that's what the Mishnah says. If you have both, there's a specific sequence to put in the shalyad first and take off a shalosh first. But if you only have a shalosh and not a shalyad, or a person doesn't have a yad, he can mekayim a shalosh yad to shalyad, and vice versa. So Rambam says, those are not ma'akim and zuzu, and that's the indication that they are two separate mitzvahs. Whereas here, the various parshas of the tefillin, the various parshas of the mezuzah, I could have imagined that they're also separate mitzvahs. After all, different sukkim. Two different psukim that talk about mezuzah. One says write this paragraph, one says write that paragraph. Four different psukim in Chumash that say talk about writing tefillin. Each one talk about a different paragraph to write. So I could have imagined four separate mitzvahs. And there is a line in the Bavli that sounds like it's a separate mitzvah. Four mitzvahs of tefillin, two mitzvahs of mezuzah. But the Rambam understands, but that's not in the technical sense of counting Tarag mitzvahs. The Rambam says in the formal sense of counting Tarag mitzvahs, there's only one mitzvah of mezuzah. There's only one mitzvah of shayyad. There's only one mitzvah of shavrosh, even though the psukim appear two, four times. Why? Because ma'akvin zu azu. So that's the significance of that, the opening, the Mishnah where it all begins, Menachos Chav Ches Amud Aleph. Number one, Tanam are telling me, as is every Mishnah, the Mishnah is loaded. Rav Ha Echos Ma'at Ha Kamas, a lot going on in very few words. It's a mitzvah to write whole parashios, and it's only one mitzvah. Ma'akvin Zuzu, it's only one mitzvah. Now, in a certain sense, the very next step is what appears at the end of the sugya. If you look in the Rif and the Rush, they open the discussion with on the end of the sugya. The sugyas of mezuzah go from lamed beis to lamed dal manaf and mesechus menachas. So at the very end, the last couple of lines before the Gemara switches over to talking about tefillin, the next line of the Mishnah, the Gemara has a braisa. Sounds like a medrash, because it begins with a pasuk, and then immediately moves to yachol. Bam lamed dal manaf, the Gemara has a question. Five, six, seven lines into the wide lines. Tan Rabbanan uchsavta yachol yichteven al avanim. Sounds like a sifrei. Medrash halacha by midrash dvar. Torah says uchsavta v'zuz be'sechol yisharecha yachol. I might think yachol is a classic medrash halacha language, like yachol mirosh chodesh. Yachol yichteven al avanim. I have a havni yisharei in stones. So the Gemara has this brisa, has a whole medrash, has a whole discussion. How do I know the yisharei on cloth and not on stones? Sometimes you have a mitzvah to write things on stones. There was a din that when they would have to write, that appears in the Chumash Dvarim, of writing the Torah on the 12 stones. There was a situation where they had a mitzvah to write on stones. On the other hand, sometimes you write on cloth. So which one is mezuzah? Okay. So the right medrash goes back and forth. It comes to the conclusion, no, you write mezuzah on cloth, not on stones. is a interesting machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, especially since we're learning Maseches Gittin this year, morning Seder, night Seder. Rashi says, what are the two options? Either you write it on stones, like the Avnei HaYarden, or you write on cloth, like get. So that's what Rashi says. That was the question. Should we compare mezuzah to get? Should we compare mezuzah to the putting the Torah on the Avnei? Tosfos said, I don't understand what Rashi is talking about. You don't have to write a get on cloth. You could. We typically do. If you've, but in that, Mishnah saw it, not all the Bavli of Gittin, Mishnah saw all the Mishnayos of Gittin. Mishnayos say, but there, you can write a get on many different types of, write a get on a leaf. Tanam discussed, write a get on an animal, Yad Shel Eved, all sorts of cases. It doesn't have to be on cloth. The Tosfos says, why did Rashi think that get would be the model for mezuzah on cloth? The Tosfos says, no, we're not talking about get. Tosfos rejects Rashi. They say, no, we're talking about plenty. But there are plenty of other cases. Tosfos says, no, Sefer Torah is written on cloth. The Megillah Sota is written on cloth. Nah, not get. Talk about what's Rashi thinking. So it could be that what Rashi is thinking, perhaps, is the following. And that's why this Bryce, although it appears at the end of the Sugis of the Bavli, is the way the Rif and the Rosh open. What's a Havni Yachal Yichtiven al Avanim? No, Kamash Malan, it's on cloth. It could be the Havni just, well, maybe we should learn from Avnei Yarbeh. It could be, it's more than that. That's how the Medrash tries to answer the question. But what was the question, Yachal Yichtiven al Avanim? The question was, where do you write the mezuzah? And that's really a bad way even to phrase the question. Because when the Chumash, you take a look at the language of the Shulchan Aruch, here we go back to the opening line. Mitzvah Saseh Lichto Parsha Shmavim Shemoah Ulokav Am Al Mezuzah HaPesach. You write down these two parashos, and you attach them to the mezuzah HaPesach. So it's the mezuzah of the doorway. Mezuzah HaPesach, meaning the doorpost. In Chumash, in Biblical Hebrew, mezuzah means a doorpost. That's all that it means. In the language of Tanaim and on, the word mezuzah means two different things. The doorpost, or the mezuzah, the cloth. The Tanaim already are referring to mezuzah as the cloth that you attach to the mezuzah. Which gets confusing, which is why, as we're going to see, just a practical note to keep your eyes open for, the poskim are going to, often gets confusing, which mezuzah do you mean? You attach the mezuzah to the mezuzah. So the poskim, I need to differentiate, like, you know, with Shem, you're all at the right time, find a best friend for life, and before you're engaged, you should already be referring to her parents, the way she refers to her parents. And she'll be referring to your parents the way you refer to your parents. That's part of the emotional. It's an expression of the emotional essence of Baal Keshto Nisha Kugufa. If they're her parents, that means they're my parents. If they're my parents, that means they're her parents. So if she calls them Mami and Tati, Abba and Ima, Daddy and Mami, whatever it is, by the time you're engaged, that's what you'll be calling them too. So, but sometimes it gets a little confusing. So it works out well when, you know, once one member of the couple has an iman abba, the other one has a mommy and daddy, everything's clear. Right? But if they're both mommy, they're both daddy, they're both abba, both iman, it gets a little confusing. Or something you've already experienced, right? When two sets of grandparents. So one wants to be babi and zaidi, one wants to be sab and safta, everything's very clear. But both want to be sab and safta, both want to be babi and zaidi or safti or whatever it is. So then you already have to explain. Do I mean soft to gross or soft to klein? Do I mean, so that's what the poskim are dealing with here. Mezuzah or mezuzah, which one? Do I mean like the mezuzah in the biblical sense or mezuzah in the rabbinic Hebrew sense? Do I mean like the doorpost or do I mean the cloth that you attach to the doorpost? So that's why the poskim often will differentiate like Zadie Klein and Zadie Gross. They'll say mezuzah HaPesach and mezuzah HaKlaf. Mezuzah HaPesach means the doorpost, the architectural unit, element. And mezuzah ha'klaf means the mezuzah, the piece of parchment. That's the language Shulchan Aruch is using right here. Ulokavam al mezuzah satesa. That's a technical term that's used in Hilchos Mezuzah. That is, I think, is what the Braisa is driving at. Yachal yichtaven ha'avanin. Well, I would have thought you should write on a piece of stone and attach it to the doorpost instead of on a piece of cloth and attach it to the doorpost. No. Yachal yichtaven ha'avanin al pi pashas means I would have thought that, like the Karoim, that there is only one sense of mezuzah. Uchsavta ma'al mezuzah ve'secha visharecha. Being aware that in biblical Hebrew, mezuzah means the doorpost, Pashup Shah and the Pasuk is write these words on the doorpost. Walk over to your doorpost with a pen or a quill and write it on the doorpost itself, not on something separate that you then attach to the doorpost. Yachal yichtavena ha'avanim, as we're going to, it's going to come up later on, we'll see in the Tanayah that the houses were often built of stone. But around there, it's a straw that's a more recent minig as well. Yachal yichtavena ha'avanim means that everything you should write on the doorpost, on the wall. Kamash malon, no, write on something separate. So that may be part of what the Sifrei is driving at, that we reject the Karayim. We don't think you write directly on the house. No. You write on something separate that you then attach to the house. So that may also explain Rashi. The point was, when Rashi says we're learning from Get, it's not so much klaf specifically, but the point is you write it on something else. You're writing on a piece, something paper-like, whether it's klaf or alash al zayis or whatever it is. That perhaps is why Rashi understood the Braisa as he did. Okay, so that's all the basics that we take for granted. It's a mitzvah to write the entire these parshos. To write these parshos something separate that you attach to the doorpost, and that constitutes a single mitzvah d'oraisa of mezuzah. Then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say. The Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that there's arichas yamim. Kalazar by arichas yamav, meivanav, meino zar by yiskatru. The Gemara derives that from the psukim in the second time that the Torah talks about mezuzim. That v'hayim shamava, it's followed by l'man yiri meich meivanechem. The Gemara says that the Gemara assumes that the mezuzah is. That's specifically, particularly about mezuzah. That's how we know that mezuzah applies to both men and women, because everyone needs a richas yamim. So you see from that Gemara that there's a special connection that the Gemara understood from the Psukim, that l'mayyubri mechme v'neichem has a particular connection to the mitzvah of mezuzah. The Shechter points out that this is the pashat understanding. Sometimes you hear people, they have some sort of a tzara, or especially some sort of unusual tzara, bad things are happening, I should check the mezuzahs. Mayin shmita tzar simen, checking mezuzahs have to do with a car crash. You say, al pi pashtas, it's not stam a tzara, it's specifically when someone who lives in the house is in a dangerous situation, because the Shulchan Aruch said that the mezuzah has a particularly powerful schar in terms of arichas yamim. So if there's someone who lives in the house who's dangerously ill, so you want to make sure that he is being mekayim in the midst of a mezuzah. So as we're going to see, the Mishnah says, even one letter is missing, the whole mezuzah is not kosher. I mean, you're not yotzei the mitzvah d'oraisa unless it is written properly. So it would be a good idea if someone lives in the house, is in danger, is dangerously ill, for instance, so it make sure that he's doing the kind of mezuzah. If there's a letter missing, if the mezuzah has degraded, or if it was never written properly to begin with, so he's not fulfilled the mitzvah despite his best efforts, that's a problem. So let's make sure that he's doing the kind of mezuzah. Let's check and see that the mezuzah is kosher. Okay. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. This is the way to define the mitzvah d'oraisa. You should recognize how significant it is that it carries with it arichas yam. We'll see more about the significance of it in Sif Beis, but the Rama appears to present a counterpoint. Well, the mitzvah mezuzah is very chashuv, but don't get carried away. Other mitzvahs are chashuv too. As a matter of fact, Rama says sometimes other mitzvahs triage over mezuzah. When you're stuck, Rama quotes a discussion that Darkei Moshe sends you to one of the very late Chachmei Ashkenaz, but it goes back. The Rush already has this discussion. It's not Hilchos Mezuzah, it's Hilchos Tefillin. Siman Lamed, both Hilchos Mezuzah and Hilchos Tefillin appear printed in the back of Menachos. That's just for you to know, a bibliographical note, and we'll get back to the Sugya. The Riff, and the Rush patterned himself after the Riff. The Riff wrote a Kitzur, as you know, a Kitzur of the Gemara Halacha Masa. Kasalav Shakhtar, Kasalav the Kitzur, we have a Pasuk like. Cuts out a lot of the topics that are not relevant to his Man HaZeh and Chutz La'aretz. That's why he cuts out chunks of Masechtas, and he cuts out whole Masechtas. The Riff didn't write on Kachin, because Kachin, unfortunately, is not knowing his Man HaZeh. But there are a couple of topics in Menachos and elsewhere that are knowing his Man HaZeh, like Tzitzis and Tefillin and Sefer Torah and Mezuzah and so forth. So the Riff wrote what we called halachas ketanas, specific chunks on each of those topics and one or two others as well, Thomas Kohenim, which appear in the back of Menachos, and therefore in the Rush, the back of Menachos. The Riff was a contemporary of Rashi, who lived around the year, in the 1000s, like Rashi, and the Rush lived around three centuries later, the end of the period of Baitosis, in the 1300s. And what the Rush did, he took the Riff's Kitzur lahalach of the Gemara and added discussions in Psakim of the Bali Atosos, sometimes other Rishonim also. So the Rush at the end of Hilchos Tefillin, the back of Menachos, Siman Lamed, so he quotes this discussion from the Yerushalmi. What do you do? And what's what the Ramah here quotes also. And Ein Yadam Masegas, here we are Reish Behesif Aleph in the Ramah. Ein Yadam Masegas in the Mikol Makom. Even though Mezuzah is so important, but still, Ein Yadam Masegas looks on Tefillin u Mezuzah, Yikna Tefillin velo Mezuzah. I think for most of us, unthinkable. Sort of highlights the degree of affluence that we take for granted. Someone can't afford a pair of Tefillin, a pair of Mezuzah. I don't mean can't afford the most Mehuda. I can't afford a basic kosher, not. Sometimes people unfortunately sell tefillin that aren't kosher. But I can't afford a basic kosher tefillin and basic kosher mezuzah for my home. Hagabi atzmechem. Nah, the guy stressed. He has to either or. So how do I choose? Even though mezuzah is so important, but there are more quotes, you choose the tefillin and not the mezuzah. They tell you in the parentheses, someone who lived shortly after the Ramah added footnotes to the Ramah. The ultimate is Yerushalmi, the end of Masechas Megillah. The Rush quotes that Yerushalmi. That's how we passed it. That tefillin take precedence over mezuzah. Now the Gra here is kind enough. The Gra usually gives you the sources for what appears in the Shulchan Aruch. Here he's a little bit longer than usual. He gives you Yerushalmi. He actually quotes the Yerushalmi. It's a very, very fascinating Yerushalmi. A Lomdashi Yerushalmi. Says the Yerushalmi raises this as a machlokas, ironically machlokas of Amorai Bavel, but it appears in Yerushalmi. Shmuel and Rav Huna. Shmuel says mezuzah wins, and Rav Huna says no, tefillin win. Okay. And the Yerushalmi explains the svara of each, and then the Yerushalmi also gives a raya. Yerushalmi says, Shmuel says, I'll prove to you mezuzah is more important. Mezuzah applies in Shabbos Yantif. Tefillin don't. On the other hand, Rav Huna says, no, tefillin's more important because tefillin applies no matter where you live. Even if you live in the desert, even if you live on a boat, you still have to put on tefillin, but you don't have to put a mezuzah on a boat or a tent. Okay? So on the one hand, and on the other hand, mezuzah is more chashuv, applies 7 days a week, and then tefillin is more chashuv, applies no matter where you live. Okay? Svaris lakana lakana. How do we paskin? So Yishalmi says, well, we have a raya to Shmuel. Raya to Shmuel that mezuzah takes precedence because I have a braisa that says, mal makosh v'lo moridin, I can turn a cloth of tefillin into mezuzah, but not vice versa. So you see, mezuzah, for that braisa, mezuzah is a higher level. Okay. Either Ramah paskins, tefillin takes precedence. So the Gra says, Ramah, I understand well. Because the Bavli says, paskins, that ma'am bakosh lo moridin, you can turn mezuzah into tefillin, but not tefillin to mezuzah. So if the two issues are linked, which one is a higher level of Kedusha, in terms of turning one to the other, and which one do I pick when I have to pick one of the two, which one takes precedence? So, okay, so if the lumdus of the Yerushalmi, that those two issues are linked, and the psak of the Bavli, that tefillin is a higher level, is a higher kedusha than the mezuzah. Okay, so then 1 + 1 = 2. If ma'al makor shlomo ridin tells me which one takes precedence, which one, how you triage, so then we should triage the tefillin over the mezuzah. Now the Gra goes on to say something interesting. The Gra goes on to say, some of you may have seen this in the Gra and Kiva Eger. The Gra goes on to say, I understand the first line of the Ramah, but the last line of Ramah is mysterious. The fact that he paskins tefillin is kodim to mezuzah, that I understand, because we paskin that tefillin is a higher level of kedusha. Malam bakar shalom reading, it turned mezuzah into tefillin, but not vice versa. So good. Right? The lumdus of the Yerushalmi, together with the psak of the Bavli. But then he says, what I don't understand is the last line of the Ramah. The mitzvah shi chovas haguf adifa. The Ramah said that the reason why tefillin takes precedence over mezuzah is because it's a chovas haguf. Tefillin is a chovas haguf. Mezuzah is not a chovas haguf. Where did Ramah get that from? Ramah got that from the Rosh. The Rosh says it. Look back in the Rosh and Hilchos Tefillin Siman Lamed. The Rosh says that. He goes to Yerushalmi and he says, I think that tefillin are kodim because they're a chovas haguf. What's shocking about that, the Gra says, is the Yerushalmi presented two shitas in Amoran, and the Yerushalmi explained the rationale for each shita. So you could tell me you want to paskin a tefillin or a kodman because tefillin apply even to the people who live in a tent. But how do you make up a new svara? Or the Rush came up with their own new svara? What does that mean? So one Amora said the din is tefillin kodman for this reason. Other Amora said, no, mezuzah kodem is for this reason. The Rosh says, well, I have a new svara. What does that mean? The Gross is and the Ramah quotes that line of the Rosh. Mitzvah shicho is a guf adifa. The Gross seems to say, okay, I don't know, we're going to ignore that. Difficult Rosh. But the Psak I accept. The Psak I accept not because of the Ramah's reason, but again because tefillin are more kaddish than mezuzah. Yeah. Rav Kivager, see, in the look in the Gra, they actually tell you in parentheses, I am the Chedusha of Kivager. I'm almost positive that their Gra did not write those words. Assuming that was a printer who added a footnote. Because here you see an unusually long Gra and an unusually long Rav Kivager. Rav Kivager sometimes writes a length, but not usually in the Chedusha of the Sada Shulchan Aruch. Chuvas are sometimes very long, but usually his Kamat Shulchan Aruch are very brief. Here you see his Mamash, like 20, 30 lines. So in the midst of that, he says something which Kriyum Yashiv Bigra. He says, maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the point. That what does Chovas Haguf mean, Rikivager claims? Ramah says Chovas Haguf. If Rikivager says, for instance, would you call tzitzis? Chovas Haguf. Tzitzis I put in my body also. Just like tefillin. I'm like mezuzah, which is not my body. So tzitzis sound like it's a Chovas Haguf. Would you call sukkah Chovas Haguf? Probably not. I don't have to touch it. I don't put it on my body. I go inside of it. But Kierkegaard says, is that what Chovas Haguf means? The Rush thought because it touches your body, that's somehow radically more significant. Mori Kirei says, nah, what the Chofes HaGuf, what the Rosh meant, the Ramah meant, Chofes HaGuf means it's an absolute chiyuv. It's an inescapable chiyuv. You must wear tefillin. You don't have to put on mezuzah. And that, in fact, is exactly what the Yerushalmi was saying. What was Yerushalmi saying? And this Stipler has a piece in Menachas on mezuzah where he quotes B'ni Chaim, who we know as Reb Chaim Kanievsky. That he refers to his son Chaimel. Had pointed out, based on Rambam, that what Yerushalmi is saying, let's appreciate what Yerushalmi is saying. Yerushalmi said, well, maybe tefillin are greater significance, or maybe mezuzah. Why? Well, on the one hand, tefillin, mezuzah applies 7 days a week. On the other hand, tefillin applies even if you live, no matter where you live. So what's the point? Why does it matter so much? So he says, you look at the Rambam, in the beginning of the last paragraph of Hilchos Brachos, he explains a little more what it means. So the fact that tefillin applies 7 days a week, there's never a time when you're potter. Okay, we understand. That indicates that tefillin is a higher level of chiyuv than mezuzah. You're never off. The fact that that indicates mezuzah is a higher level of chiyuv, because mezuzah applies 7 days a week, whereas tefillin, you're potter Shabbos Yomtov. On the other hand, he said, mezuzah, you're putter if you live in a tent. Mezuzah, you're putter if you live in a boat. We'll get to that more in Rishim and Simon Reish Pei Vav. But what that's saying is that, and this is where the Rambam quotes the beginning of the last parak of Hilchos Brachos, when he talks about Birkas HaMitzvahs. Rambam says there are two types of mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs which are a regular chiyuv, and the mitzvahs are mitzvahs harashos. Mitzvahs harashos, Rambam says, it doesn't mean optional, it means contingent. Some mitzvahs apply no matter what. You're a Jewish man, you gotta wear tefillin. Okay. You're a Jewish man, Rosh Hashanah comes, you gotta hear shofar. You're a Jewish man, Sukkot comes, you gotta shake a little, Pesach comes, you gotta eat matzah. Okay. That's just the way it is. Chiyuv, absolute chiyuv. But sometimes you have a chiyuv, which is only a mitzvah harashos, meaning it only applies under certain circumstances. If you hire a worker, then you have a mitzvah, b'yom otitei n'scharo. You could opt to not hire a worker and do it yourself, DIY. If you wear a beged with four corners, then you have a chiyuv tzitzis. We try to be mechayiv ourselves, but strictly speaking, not mechayiv to put a beged with four corners. If I choose to do that, then I have a mitzvah tzitzis. Now that's also a mitzvah sarshos. Or a third example of mitzvah sarshos is mezuzah. If you choose to live in a house that fits all the rules that we'll learn about, Siman and Reish Pei Vav, Reish Pei Zayin, so then you're taka chayiv to put up mezuzah. But if you choose to live in a tent, you choose to live in a boat, we'll find out in Reish Pei Vav why those places are patur. If you choose to live in a park bench, Rahman al-Islam, so if you're not living in a house, then you're not chayiv mezuzah. So it's not an absolute chiyuv, it's a contingent chiyuv, it's a mitzvah sarah shos. That's how the Rambam quotes it, and Kiv Eger suggests that's what the Yerushalmi was saying, and that's what the Rosh meant also. Chovas HaGuf, he says maybe the Rosh meant it too. The Gross, it was Rosh make of his own Svara. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he didn't mean literally on my body. Maybe he meant more broadly, it's an absolute chiyuv, akar kafta de gavra. I'm a chiyuv to do it. I can't wiggle out of it. Tefillin. Unlike mezuzah, I could choose to live in a place which doesn't fit the conditions of a bias to be chayiv and mezuzah, and that's why tefillin take precedence. That's why tefillin take precedence over mezuzah. Let's wrap up. I want to be sensitive to time. Let's wrap up just with the last couple of lines of Reish Pei Hei. We'll leave Reish Pei Tes and Reish Shem for next time. The second sif in Reish Pei Hei, Nisinasa B'Tefach Achitza, it's a good example of what I mentioned to you last week when we were getting started, that the Shulchan Aruch is meant to not be learned as a freestanding sefer, as much as, certainly one would appreciate it as freestanding sefer, you appreciate it when you see it as the last line of the Beis Yosef. The Torah Beis Yosef will give you the whole background. Shulchan Aruch, the whole sugya, Shulchan Aruch is saying, bottom line, here's how we pass it. So this is a golden example, because If you just look at the Mechaber, say he says a mitzvah to write Shema Vayim Shamoa, a very important mitzvah, Nisinasa v'kaipa hachitzon. Random hanging detail. We'll get to Reish Pei Tes. We're talking about where you place the mezuzah. That is one of the dinim. That if you have a deep doorway, you put it in the first tefach of the depth going in. But why is it here? If you look back in Beis Yosef, as you saw, then you appreciate. It's because we'll get to, as a din of details of hyperbole mezuzah, we'll get back to Reish Pei Tes. Here it's because of this. This din was the context in which the Gemara raised two important ideas. The Gemara said, why is he put it betefach hachitzon? The Gemara said two things. Number one, shmiras habayis. Number two, kidei sheyifka b'mitzvah chila. Sounds like number one, the shmir of the house applies to whatever is within the mezuzah. So the further out you move the mezuzah, sort of the more you extend the zone of the shmira. And then what's that other idea? So you'll be pogei the mitzvah sunya. If you look at the Rambam, it could be that you appreciate that those two reasons are really two major themes of mezuzah. And let's explain, with this we close for now. The idea of the shmira, so that, you saw when the Ramah here talks about, quotes of the Maharil, that it's proper to touch the mezuzah when you leave the house. And the Chayadam Ray says, based on the Zohar, not like to touch but to kiss. Where does that come from? It says, you saw Gemara Vodazar, Gemara Vodazar, Daf Yudalef, has this, mentions Unklus Hager touching the mezuzah, and then proceeds to explain, is it being carried out by Roman soldiers, and he touches the mezuzah, that it motivates him to ask, well, what was that all about? And he explains, oh, let me explain, you know, this mezuzah is an indication of the fact that Kadosh Baruch was on the outside watching us on the inside, as opposed to Melch Basar Adam, he's on the inside and you guys have to guard him on the outside. And they're very taken by that. But now, in the context of the Gemara, it sounded like it was just a ploy. He touched the mezuzah because he needed to distract them, he needed to get them to open conversation with him, because they were under strict orders not to speak to him. So in the context of the Gemara, it sounds like this, you don't generally touch the mezuzah, in that one unique context. But the Maharil, that Ramah is quoting, understands that this is a more global issue. That the fact that he touched mezuzah and then got into this conversation about the Shmira indicates that something one's supposed to, the reason why the Gemara mentions it, because it's something one's supposed to do in general, and there's a fundamental connection between those ideas. You're touching the mezuzah, that sort of almost like a keypad for the alarm, but almost like the touching mezuzah sort of activates or highlights or raises the level of the shmira. That's how it sounds like the Maril coined by the Ramah is saying. But then there's the other angle, because the Rambam discusses chashivas of the mitzvah at the very end of the Hilchos Mezuzah, the last halach in Perek Vav, a very, very fascinating, remarkably inspiring Rambam. He says, such a simple thing, you put a little piece of cloth on your doorway, but all of a sudden what that means is it, because mancha, you connect to the, every time you're going out of the door, what could be more banal and mundane than walking from place to place? All of a sudden, that mundane activity of walking from location A to location B is transformed into a theological epiphany. He says, because mancha, you connect to the yifka, a person's pogea, same language, pogea, like the Gemara used in Pogeya b'mitzvah, your Pogeya, he lists all the, so many of the major themes. Yichud habore, ahavaso, umiyadu holich v'darchei meishar. You come across Yichud Hashem, Shema Yisrael Hashem, Kei Hashem Echad. Not only that Kodesh Baruch Hu exists, but that we can have a relationship with him, v'ahavto Hashem l'kecha, and then, miyadu holich v'darchei meishar. Automatically transformed into someone who goes on the right path. Well, what does that mean? So the Sukkim and Shema continue to talk about a person becoming a person of mitzvahs. And presume what the Rambam means is Yad Holof Adarchim Eshar. See, you walk by a mezuzah once, all of a sudden you never do another there again. What does that mean? Aneinu Haros, it doesn't work. And someone he means is the following. If you don't just walk mindlessly through a doorway, set it and forget it, you don't put the mezuzah up every day, but if you think about what you're walking by, over time, the cumulative impact will be massive. And let's put it practically. Imagine that 1 out of 10 times I walk through a mezuzah, I touched it. I remember that it's there. And 1 of the 10 times that I touched it, I thought about what's inside. If 1% of the time that I walk through a doorway, I was thinking about Yichud HaBori V'Ahavaso, the cumulative impact would be phenomenal. That's going to have a massive impact in the way I make decisions. That's a massive impact in the centrality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah in my life. That's probably what the Rambam means. And taking it back, what that means is that the two reasons for this din and siv beis, nisnat v'tefach hachitzam, the two reasons that the Gemara gave, speak to number one, the mezuzah as a conduit through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides us with shmirah. And number two, my end of the deal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be shomer me. But what it's supposed to do for me is it's supposed to remind me, sheyifka b'mitzvah t'chila, because Rambam says, mi'am pogeim ol dikari amunah of mezuzah, that's going to heighten my amunah in abstract, and l'maisim, yadahalach v'darach nesharim, is to convert me, it's going to transform me over time, if I do it thoughtfully, into someone whose life is centered on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore someone who is holech the Darach HaMeisharim. Rit Hashem, Monday there'll be a new set of Maror Makamos that will be continuing to Reish Peites. Rit Hashem, next week in the Chabura on Thursday, we'll begin with some of the issues of Bracha Sif Alf, and we're going to move on beyond that as well. Shteach Hever. I'm glad to hang around for questions. I'm sorry about... Oh! Is that...
That
fox has been broken. Oh, wow. Okay. So anyone who wants to leave, not right to want to leave. Okay. We'll stop here. And then I thought we were already over time. Okay, at least I don't have to apologize for going over time. And we will pick up your time. I'm glad to hang around for questions. Anyone wants to leave? We're good to go. I'm going to get like supper. If you want to hang around for questions, we've got to take questions.
What's the nature of the din?
It's hard to say it's a chiyuv. It sounds like it's. The Maril seemed to have understood that was an ancient minig, and when the Gemara records Unkelus is doing it, it's not just something he did that one time to seek as a conversation starter with the Romans, but it was something that he did on a regular basis. And number two, that what he. The next line in the Gemara, the content of what Unkelus tells them, is reflective of specifically the touching of the mezuzah. The touching of the mezuzah has to do with the shmir. That's the Maril's approach. And I would suggest also that if you plug the Rambam into Kadesh Yifke Mitzvah Tchila, that could be another reason to touch the mezuzah, is so that you think about the contents, not just for activating or elevating the shmira, but also touch the mezuzah elevates my thinking and refocuses me on the contents of the mezuzah, and then yarov b'darach hamishon. Yeah.